welcome to the Sunday Morning Linux Review with Matt Enders, Tony Bemis, and Mary Tomich.
Yeah, all right. This is the Sunday Morning Linux Review, episode 63.
Happy holidays.
It is from Mary and Matt.
Yep.
This is Mary Tomich.
And Matt Enders.
And Tony
is AOL.
He bailed on us at the last minute.
Yes, yesterday. Actually, Friday, he sent me a text at like 8 o'clock at night going, I'm not going to be there. You got to come pick up the box.
Yeah. And then I saw that you hadn't responded Friday night. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to have to do it.
So we via text. It wasn't on because he sent the email,
he didn't
too.
He respond the first one, anyway, so apparently there's some kind of family situation. I think a positive type situation.
I don't know. His wife plans some kind of a surprise.
So he's whatever being surprised, that means. We're here. And so. There you have it. So, We'll go ahead and kind of catch up, I think, Matt.
Yeah? So what did you do last week?
Wait, I was going
to
ask
you. I beat you to it.
Oh, let's see. Well, actually, what I did last week, there was something kind of interesting. On my laptop, I put a, I basically built a LAMP stack. I mean, I just installed Apache, MySQL, not MariaDB, but MySQL.
Why?
Only because that's what I've used, and I understand MariaDB is basically the same.
It's exact.
And I probably will try it, but I put my SQL and I put PHP on there. Reason why I did that is there is, I've always wanted to be able to build a database in the cloud that users can access and update records and that type of thing in their browser. So this open source app called NewBuilder, it's actually a framework. it's a web-based framework. It allows you to create these forms and reports, this type of thing, with the back, you know, with background data, so that you can add to the database. You can then again run reports, generate forms, whatever it is. Again, it's open source. It's called NewBuilder. So I was playing around with that in anticipation of building some things for a couple of the community organizations to which I belong. So it was a kind of a week of discovery.
Yeah,
they've got some video tutorials online. So if anybody's interested in that type of thing, NewBuilder is NUBUILDER. I think it's .com. And
if you Google NewBuilder,
NewBuilder altogether, NUB blah blah blah, you'll find it. So yeah, so I spent a good deal of my time with that. Distro stuff, of course, and show prep. So. And I had an end of the world party. I had to return the Survivor Arc yesterday because the world didn't end. But we were ready to go. Copious amounts of alcohol
were consumed.
And party snacks and all that good stuff. So anyway, it was a fun time.
Good deal.
Yeah. So how about you? What did you do?
Well, at work, I had to go recover a bunch of servers from one of our remote locations. It's a basement location in a building. It's mm-hmm. old. It's been there for a long time. And one of them had a private link. It was a cluster.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a private link connecting the two servers together. One was in rack 6-7.
Yeah.
And the other one was in rack 12-3. So one's in row 9, cabinet 7. One's in row 12, cabinet 3. So I had to, whenever you pull a server out, you've mm-hmm. got to remove all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, the wiring and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to pull this wire out of a bundle of 1,000 other wires all the way from that cabinet to the other cabinet where it was. It was not fun. Up on the ladder and get moved 2 feet, get down, move the ladder up, back up, move another 2 feet.
How long did it take you to get there?
I missed lunch. I got to go home an hour. I got to go home an hour early because I didn't eat lunch. But
you got the job done.
Yeah, okay. It was a pain in the ass.
Okay,
so,
I'm sure it was.
And then yesterday, I was in my room and I set up a server
mm-hmm.
right to play around with,
mm-hmm.
and just an old Dell 2950,
mm-hmm.
and I was trying to get the networking from my laptop to be able to bridge out into a wired network for the server.
Yeah.
So I could bridge down the wireless.
Yeah.
So I'm working at the command line. I got it all set up. My laptop can ping the server. My server can ping the laptop. But I can't get the packets to move from the wireless network to the wired network. I just couldn't do it. So I then decided it was time to Google for some help.
Well, at least you asked for directions.
It was way easier than I was trying to do it. If you've got a graphical environment and network manager installed, you just bring up the wired link and say share. And it does it. Sets the DHCP server up.
All those commands are done for you.
Yeah, yeah. So I wasted 45 minutes trying to get the packets to flow.
You'll never get back.
Yeah, well, I don't need it back. So that's what I did this week. Now it works. I did the install.
Okay, well, that's good.
Actually, I did the install 3 times, and I'm going to go home today and do it again.
Yeah, and you know something, and actually, is there anything more on that, or did you
wrap that up?
You know, just before you arrived this morning for the show, Matt, there was the sound of little hoof prints on the roof, and I thought it was squirrels. But no, you know, it was...
What did you do?
It was actually Santa bringing us presents, and... There
I didn't get you anything.
But I didn't get you anything either. This was from Santa. Everybody, those of you in the hangout can see that we have presents from Santa. And you know, Santa said you must be present to get a present. Tony, there's no present for Tony because he's not
here.
So anyway, we're gonna make bad noise for a couple of seconds to see what Santa got us. Oh look. Santa got us a penguin light.
Christmas light.
That's right. There we go. So all you guys in the hangout can see that.
And I'll put them up around my room when I get home.
So anyway, sorry, Tony. I think there was a lump of coal for you. No, just kidding. No, Tony, actually, there is something from Santa, but you'll have to get it next time we see you. And also, you know, one thing we got to mention, too, last week we broadcast from Panera.
Yes.
And there was this kind of annoying background music, and we want to apologize.
It was way louder than we thought it was going to be.
It
came out on the recording. Tony tried to clean it up as best he could.
So it just wasn't...
And then there was the incident with the small child.
Yes, that was running, who was running around in the back screaming. But anyway, so hopefully this week it'll be clear. Now that we got the crinkly gift paper out of the way. All right, well, I think we'll move on.
Matt, what's happening with the kernel?
And we do have a release candidate this week, Linus Torvalds, on Friday the 21st of December at 1800 even, Pacific Standard Time.
Okay.
Released kernel 3.8-RC1, and here's what he had to say about: the longest night of the year is upon us, and what better thing to do than get yourself some nice mulled wine, sit back, relax, and play with the most recent RC kernel. This has been a big merge window. We've got more contribs than any other kernel in the version 3.x series. Although version 3.2 RC1 was almost as big, it's been a rather busy merge window. In other words, the diff stat looks normal, about 63% of the patch being drivers, staging, networking, SCSI, GPU, sound, DRB, etc. 18% is architecture updates, with various ARM platform things being the bulk of it, as usual. And the rest being various, like core networking file systems. There's a new F2FS flash-optimized file system, and include files, etc. I'm appending the merge short log, which is about the only halfway readable automated data I can give you. There's a ton of stuff here, so go out and test. And there was a little asterisk up there by the longest night of the year is upon us. There's a little asterisk. Mm-hmm. Now at the bottom, there's the explanation.
It says,
and by us, I mean mainly people in the same time zone and hemisphere as I am, because I'm too self-centered to care about anybody else. Okay, and there were no stable updates this week because Greg Grohartman's on vacation skiing. And my kernel developer quote from the week comes from Alan Cox. I wonder how many email systems out there cut at 8 or 32 characters still or have percent processing still enabled and may also be vulnerable to games. What he's referring to is there was a big vulnerability revealed in, I think, Amazon's email system.
Oh, really?
They're running old unpatched stuff, and you can get in there and kind of screw around with it.
It's a broad way of putting it, but yeah, you know, it's kind of, I don't understand why companies, I guess, you know, sometimes things get so complex trying to track
right.
What you've got versions of this and what's patched to what version. My company just don't. I had this pop up, and again, this is, you know, not in the Linux world, but I get that little pop up on December 31st. These updates are going to be applied. So anyway, but they do that thing too.
Yeah.
So well, thanks for the. Is that all your kernel news?
That is all of it.
Okay. Well, great. So.
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
And that's normally done by
Tony.
Our friend Tony, who's not here this
right.
week. So I'm going to step up to the plate, and Matt and I are going to kind of share it. I'll go ahead and read them off, Matt, and we'll talk a little bit about
okay.
some of them. Because I've got a couple things to say, actually, about a few of them.
All right.
So on December 18th, 2012, we saw the release of CloneZilla 2.0.1.15. And, of course, CloneZilla is the disk imaging
yeah, it works really well. I've used it a ton, make images of a disk. I especially like it for when you're moving the operating mm-hmm. system from a smaller disk to a larger disk.
Mm-hmm.
Works really well.
Very good. And you can also, I think, do that from partition to partition, too? Does it?
You can just do a partition. You can uh-huh. do the whole disk. You
okay.
can do all kinds of stuff with it.
All right. Very good. And then on December 19th, 2012, we saw the release of PCBSD 9.1. Now, this is a new version of the project's desktop-oriented operating system. Of course, it's based on FreeBSD, and the code name for this release is Isotope. Now, what's interesting about this release is that FreeBSD has not officially released 9.1 yet. I saw that on one of the news
right,
sites.
Right, because they're only on 8-something, I thought. Or maybe
9.0. But they said that, I guess people were surmising the reason why this happened is because the 9.1 release is already up there on the servers, ready to go. It's just that somebody hasn't sent the announcement out yet. Somebody thought somebody else was going to do it, but they haven't. But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. On December 19th, 2012, we had the release of IPFire 2.11, Core 65. Again, this is the latest update from IPFire's firewall distribution. I don't use it, but...
I have. Really nice distribution. Really nice.
Really,
it has some graphical tools.
Small footprint as far as
very
resources.
Small footprint. You can put it on embedded systems.
Okay.
And it's got a web interface that makes setting it up...
Piece of cake.
Yeah. Okay. Someone that doesn't even know what they're doing.
Quit looking at me like that. No, piece of cake.
All right. Yeah, it's
all
right. Real easy.
That's
it makes
good.
It really
yeah,
easy.
That's kind of nice. Of course, firewalls are pretty important, so you want to make sure at least you understand what you're forwarding, what you're
yeah,
dropping.
Yeah, you don't want to just kind of click on open everything up, you know.
That's true.
But it makes it easy. It makes it understandable. It's good
okay.
stuff.
Okay. Then on December 19th, 2012, we saw the release of Sparky Linux 2.0.1. Now, this is a Debian-based distro that has a ton of games and the LXDE desktop. Now, I went ahead and installed Sparky Linux because, first of all, the name caught my eye. I just thought it's a little quirky. And the distro itself is almost 4 gigs. And it...
just the distro before, like the image?
Yeah, I'm sorry, the image. Yeah, the image is... The download image was almost 4 gigs.
So it's a whole DVD, 3.7.
Exactly.
Wow.
It was, yeah, it fit on a DVD, but that was it. Nothing else. So I did install it. It took a little while to put it on there, but the games menu is... it's scroll, 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 scroll. I mean, there's a ton of games on there. But one thing they did that I thought was a little odd is that there's an other menu category. In other words, you know, you've got games, you've got Internet, Office, and then you've got other. And in there, they had almost a near replication of the games, and then they had some other stuff in there. It didn't make sense to me, but the games, a lot of games. If you like it, give it a try. So anyway, so that's Sparky Linux. On December 20th, 2012, we had the release of ROSA 2012 Desktop Fresh. Now, this, of course, is for the KDE desktop. I use their icons on my desktop. I think I talked about that about months ago when I installed them, and I love those icons. So I might give Rosa. Yeah.
Icons.
If you're going to use
I don't put any icons on my desktop.
I mean, the icon set. Just the set. You've got, like, are you using KDE?
Yeah.
We're using icons.
I know, but they don't need to look pretty. It just needs to be a box that you know what it clicks and it does.
Yeah. And if it looks pretty, it's just even better.
Okay.
All right, well, moving on. On December 20th, 2012, Zendial 3.0-1 was released. Now, that's of course, a server distribution that is based on Ubuntu.
Yeah. And
formerly Ebox.
Yeah, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, our friend Matthew Williams, Lord, commonly known as Lord Drakenbluth, is putting together a tutorial on how to set Zendial up as a PDC.
Primary domain controller?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, because it's got Samba 4 in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that might make for a good interview.
Yeah, yeah.
How that went.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. So,
and speaking of interviews, you know, getting back to PCBSD, Chris Moore was the individual that announced that. I met him at Ohio Linux Fest.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was open to an interview.
You keep shining him on about doing an interview.
Yeah. And we got to put our questions.
And by we, you mean you.
Well, I just want a little input from some, want some help from my friends.
Okay.
And you too, Matt. All right, let's get back to my list here. Moving on, on December 21st, 2012, Gen 2. 2012-12-21, which I guess is a reorganization of the date, was released. And, of course, all the Gen 2 fans out there were no doubt aware of that days ago when it was pushed out into the wild.
Well, they did that on purpose.
Because
they would release on 12-21.
Okay. Probably. And there's a ton of 12-21s.
Yeah.
And SynArch.
Surprise, surprise.
Also on 12-21 was SynArch. 2012.12.21. Now, I talked about SynArch, and I actually installed this upgrade. What was interesting is when you run from the live edition, you've got three options. Is test it out or try it out. You can do a CLI install, and then you can do a graphical install. But the graphical install button was not highlighted, but it wasn't active, indicating that you couldn't press it. And so then I went and booted to the live environment and tried to install from there, thinking I would maybe hook into that graphical install just to see how that went. And I ended up in the end curses, I don't think that's the graphical install they're talking about.
No. End curses is
just
not.
It's
not graphical. It's the old pseudo-graphical.
It's just very... Yeah, and that's fine. But I installed it. Looked great. Runs Cinnamon. I had to step away from my laptop for a while. I came back, and, of course, power management had kicked in, and it was kind of sleeping. I went to wake it up, and I could not get my desktop back. It was, you could tell, I had the panel at the top. I had, I couldn't see my cursor. It would not come back. So I was very disappointed to see that. I think I'll let them know. I'll try it again and see if that happens again, and if it does, then I'll let them know.
You know how you avoid that?
Don't
turn off the power setting.
Turn off going to sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, all right. Well, we'll go ahead and do that. All right. So we're moving on 12/20. Also on 12/21, 2012, we had the release of Linux Mint 14 XFCE edition. Not much more to say about that.
Yeah.
Very well known distro used by millions and loved by millions.
Yeah. With
maybe thousands.
All those desktops all together in one. For the numbers?
Take a look down the list. Then we had also on 12/21, actually this is the last 12/21 release, was pfSense 2.0.2. It's, of course, based on FreeBSD, and it's another firewall, which, Joan, I think you've talked
I have used pfSense in the past, but the last time I tried to use it,
yeah,
it just wouldn't install. It hung and hung and hung
really?
And hung. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I went and tried IPFire, and
mm-hmm.
it was really good. So,
all right.
I was not disappointed.
You were disappointed.
No,
oh,
I was not disappointed.
With IPFire.
Right.
Gotcha. You were disappointed with pfSense.
Yes.
Okay. I had to make sure I had the disappointment categorized right. All right. And also, let's see, on December 22nd, 2012, we had the release of Netrunner 12.12. Of course, Netrunner is based on Kubuntu, and they've got, you know, they do incorporate some GNOME applications. And I think I did a review on them months ago, back in maybe late spring, early summer time frame. Anyway, moving on. Also on December 22nd, 2012, we had the release of Canopix 7.0.5. And according to the maintainer, that is the final update.
Hans.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Claus.
Yeah.
Claus.
Yeah, Klausnopper. Yeah. That's what I meant. I don't know why I said Hans. I don't know where that came from.
Brother.
Klausnopper.
Klaus.
All
right.
Now I put them together. I said Klaus.
And from this point on, I will be doing the rest of the distro. Just
no, okay. No, because he does an Ask Klaus column.
Yeah.
Column in
Linux magazine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One of the magazines I read.
Yeah, little comments in the. Just had to.
With I got to check the IRC.
Yeah. All right. And then after that, we had Wi-Fi Slacks 4.3, and that was released on December 22nd. And that's a forensics based distro. Apparently, they got Wi-Fi working in it, too, so that's a positive thing. I saw that, and I thought, oh, I should download that as my Slackware distro to review, but I didn't yet. And that's because I was using that new builder stuff. On December 23rd, 2012, which was, what is today? Is that today?
What?
Yeah, it is. Today's the 23rd.
Yes, it is.
All right, so released earlier today was Jibed 6.0 live CD built from the recent release NetBSD 6.0. Now, I checked into this. You will not be able to install. If you download this distro and you're thinking, oh, I'll test it out and install, this is live only. You will not be able to install from this distro.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I went to the website, checked it out, and that's the situation.
So, I'm surprised. There's no...
I think there's been another distro where that was the case, too. You can't install from it. If you want to install, you've got to go and download the install ISO. So maybe
do they have an install ISO for Jibed?
Yeah.
Okay.
They do. Well, the implication was that they did. I did not go to the download folder and download
okay.
it. But okay. they said you'll have to go to the blah, blah, blah.
Right, right, right. Then they're probably...
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, so I thought that was a little... I wanted to mention that in case people are wanting to... try that or whatever. But anyway, on December 23rd, 2012.
Another one this morning?
Yeah. Yeah, we had, the Mint. The Mint parade.
The minty goodness.
The Mint parade of multiple desktops for the same distro happened again. And that's the KDE edition. Kudos to them on that, I guess.
Yeah.
A nice distro. I tried it. Didn't particularly care for it, but that's...
You tried the KDE version?
Yes, I did. Not 14, I tried 13.
And you didn't like it?
Mm-mm.
Why?
There was just something about it I didn't care for. It. Something wasn't working quite right.
You know,
me.
They really have that problem. If you use any other one of the distributions other than their Cinnamon,
mm-hmm.
the stuff doesn't work quite right.
Yeah, and that's why I ended up going back to Kubuntu. And, of course, then I went to Chakra and went back to Kubuntu. So Kubuntu apparently is my base of operation. All right. So we've got so those are the distros.
The distro of the week, according to DistroWatch, calculated by website hits per day.
And we've got for the last 7 days, of course, this is the ranking according to...
To DistroWatch, who is not necessarily...
Page hits, you know, and again, that's... Oh, speaking of that, you go ahead and read them off, and I'll tell you, some site had an article about the most popular distros, and they kind of, if you just looked at the headline, you'd think, oh, wow, somebody has done some studies or something.
No, they just went to DistroWatch and grabbed the numbers.
Yeah, there are plenty of people in the comment section that let them know it. It's like, oh, my God, that just hits.
Yeah.
All right.
On the DistroWatch page, not even the real website.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, coming in at number five, we have Debian at 1368, and it's trending down. Then we have at number four, OpenSUSE at 1408 and trending up. Then at number three, we have Ubuntu at 1550 and trending down. Then at number two, Magia at 2478 and trending down. And I still say they've got those bots. They've got them. Mm-hmm. That's the only way Magia is still at the top like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then at number one, gotta love that minty goodness.
All four flavors of it. You know, I added up Ubuntu, Kubuntu, XFCE version.
Yeah, Zubuntu.
And then the LXDE, I think, whatever.
Zubuntu is the LXDE, and then there's Lubuntu, which is the LXDE.
Yeah, all of those Ubuntus. I added them up, and it was something like 39 something, so it would have been right up there.
So they're still under Mint, though.
Yeah, just a little, not much.
So they're still under Mint.
Yeah, but Mint just had a release.
But they're still under Mint.
If it weren't for Ubuntu, there wouldn't be a Mint. Well, it'd probably be Debian-based.
And Mint's at 4123 and trending up.
But I'll give them their props. I mean, it's a nice distro for people who like it. Okay.
I don't know. I'm on Fedora now, and I'm really loving it. So.
That's right. So when is that release coming out? Never mind. Oh, Matt, I'm so sorry.
They're having problems with the installer.
I know. You kind of hung your head there a little bit. I shouldn't have picked on you about that. All right. Well, you know what it's time for?
Now it's time for Mary's distro review.
That's right. And I'll tell you what's on SDA 6. This week's review is of a distro called Freezy Linux. That's Freezy Linux. Now, the name is what caught my eye, and sometimes, like last week, a Linux barbecue caught my eye, and of course that provided me with an opportunity to review an interesting distro. So would Freezy Linux leave me chillin' and groovin', kind of like the chill on a good beer, or would this distro leave me cold? Let's find out. First of all, the vitals. The name, of course, is Freezy Linux. The maintainer is Luca Forina. The distro's latest birthday, you know, for some reason I didn't record a birthday. I believe it's a few months. But it's a derivative of Ubuntu, and the kernel is 3.2.0, and the review desktop is GNOME 3.4.1. Now, the live environment. Freezy Linux boots easily enough to the live environment, and why shouldn't it? It's the Ubuntu live boot process, complete with try Ubuntu or install Ubuntu options. For a few seconds, I thought I'd grabbed the wrong CD. But yes, I wrote Freezy Linux on the CD after I burnt the ISO, so it must be Freezy, because that's what it said on the CD. Now, after booting live, the first thing I noticed is the wallpaper. It's called Emotion from VladStudio.com. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of Vlad Studio, but they got some great wallpapers. This wallpaper also was included in the set of desktop wallpapers that were released for KDE 4.0. Yes, that KDE, the one that was not quite ready for prime time when it was released a few years ago. But the wallpaper does have a crisp look, kind of freezing cool, so I move on. The graphics also, just the whole desktop itself, look crisp when they're rendered through that open source NVIDIA driver, and that was also included. There was a single panel at the bottom of the screen containing the system tray contents and a button for a menu launcher. So, looking good so far. It kind of reminded me of Triskel Linux. I mean, a very crisp, nice-looking desktop.
Yeah. Well, Triskel also tries to be that 100% free.
Yes, and I thought that Freezy Linux was that too, because the next thing I noticed is the networking icon. It's not, well, it's there, but I don't have wireless.
Ah, sitting behind our wirelessless laptops living, what was that quote?
Idealistic Victor. We don't have wireless. That's right. Well, let me tell you, this distro is a respin of Ubuntu. Now, that's a distro I've installed many times. Ubuntu, nice. I mean, I know it's not yours, but I like Ubuntu. I like Unity. It's a nice-looking distro. Now, Ubuntu's always been solid, and it's always handled my wireless chip without an issue. But not this time. Also, just to let you know what the defaults were in the live environment, we had Chromium as a default browser. The Office Suite is LibreOffice. Mail Client is Thunderbird. And, of course, the default file manager is Nautilus. But that lack of wireless network really caught my eye. Now, the install process. Close your eyes and imagine Ubuntu, because that's exactly what it is. You go through, it's just Ubuntu. I mean, this is freezy Linux, but it's really Ubuntu. So
they didn't change anything?
No. I've got to believe, well, they pulled out wireless, apparently. I have to believe that they just did, you know, Ubuntu does offer that service where you can spin up an ISO of your own. And I have to believe that's what they did. But again, the first thing I noticed after booting to the install environment was the painful reminder that no wireless tools were found. Again, no wireless drivers were included in Freezy's install disk. Shame, shame, Freezy. Second thing I noticed is the desktop is not quite as crisp as looking at the live environment. So I thought to myself, I'm going to check and see if that Nuvo, you know, the open source NVIDIA driver was installed, Nuvo. And if it hadn't, I planned to load that module and, you know, just give it another try here. But wait, where's my cursor? It was not to be found.
What?
My batteries and my mouse were good. The cursor was visible when I ran Freezy in the live environment. But after the quote-unquote Ubuntu install, the cursor was not there. There was no cursor.
If you unplugged the mouse, the touchpad didn't work even?
No, the touchpad did not work either.
Wow.
Let me be candid and say I did not unplug the mouse, the USB mouse thing, but typically I can use my touchpad.
Right.
And maybe I should go back and try that, to be fair. But still, if you're passing yourself off as based on Ubuntu, and I boot to the install environment, I don't have wireless. Now, of course, you're thinking, well, maybe it's the free, you know, the GNU.
Then no, because that driver is so low level and open source.
Well, but it had in the menu list, it had an option for Dropbox. You could configure Dropbox, which was closed proprietary and would not be in
open source, totally
free,
right?
Distro. So it was very very disappointing. At this point in time, I just thought, you know what? I got other things to do, Freezy. So why waste my time? One thing I will mention, though, from the live environment that was working, there were no real interesting programs other than the fact that there's a little desktop wiki called Zim. I think I've talked about it maybe once or twice a long time ago as far as something that was included on a distro that I saw. And again, it allows you to create, you can take notes. It's really kind of a super note-taking program that's wiki-like in nature. Geez, would have been interesting if my webcam had been found. Not that either. And then I mentioned the Dropbox. You know, again, that allows you to set up Dropbox, but of course it couldn't get out to the internet. So the rating, I give Freezy Linux 1.2 of last week's iced coffee made of beans from the freezer. It's yet another Ubuntu respin, but one that delivers far less than it should.
Wow. I'm surprised it got 1.2.
Well, I was
expecting like a 0.2.
This is the Christmas holidays, and I was
feeling
generous in the giving mood. But yeah, it was very disappointing.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's when I decided to spin up CineArch, which I did earlier, and talk a little bit about that. I mean, that looks nice. You know, I had that little power management situation. But other than that, CineArch was pretty solid. And then of course, Sparky. I had a cockatiel named Sparky.
Okay.
He was a nice little pet a long time ago.
Why don't you still have him?
Their lifespan is like, I don't know, a few years. This was like 25 years.
Oh, isn't it like the big cockatoos?
No, it's a cockatiel.
Yeah.
It's just a small.
But their lifespan is not similar?
It's
like a cockatiel will go 75 years.
Well, I don't know what happened to Sparky. I don't know. It was 25 years ago. I can't remember.
Cat ate him?
Yeah, that's it. That cat I don't have. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. So that was that.
Lord Drakenbluth has a suggested review for you. Do you see that?
Oh, let me pop into the... I will take a look right now.
Sonar Linux by Jonathan Nadeau.
Oh, Sonar.
We met him at Ohio Linux Fest,
yes,
Jonathan
yes,
Nadeau.
Yep.
He's the blind gentleman
mm-hmm.
that puts on the Northeast Linux Fest.
Yep.
And he's making a distro that's totally accessible.
I wonder. I should give that a look. Now, I'm kind of wondering, though, as a sighted individual, if I should review it just that
way. Wearing a blindfold?
Well, no, but I mean, it's really designed...
to be accessible, yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'll kind of... I'll just check it out. I'll check it out just, you know, just a regular sighted individual and report back on it. So thanks, Lord. I'll check that out.
He's... Yeah, that's Lord Drakenbluth, a.k.a. Okay. Matthew Williams,
yep.
who is, he says that he thinks he's using LXDE for the desktop.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that...
maybe we'll get in touch with him, do an interview.
Yeah, I'll
he's a good friend of Doors, so we can get a hold of him.
Tony Tablet has left the server. Oh, Tony was in here.
Yeah, he set the channel
okay.
for us and everything.
All right. All right, well, good. So there we have it. I think now we're going to move on to...
It's time for the tech news of the week.
First up, we have Pi gets apps. The popular Raspberry Pi gets its own app store. This could be what brings the Pi out of the tinkerer shops into the mainstream. You can access the Pi store through the Raspbian operating system, which is the distro specifically for the Pi, or through a browser. It will be open to community contributions of applications, videos, games, and projects built with Scratch. A popular visual tool for on-the-fly Pi applications. Here's the announcement from the Raspberry Pi folks. Today, together with our friends at IndyCity and Velocix, we're launching the Pi Store to make it easier for developers of all ages to share their games, applications, and tools. Tools and tutorials with the rest of the community. The store runs as an X application under Raspbian and allows users to download content and to upload their own content for moderation and release. At launch, we have 23 free titles in the store, ranging from utilities like LibreOffice and Asterisk to classic games like FreeCiv and OpenTTD. And Raspberry Pi exclusive Iridium Rising. We also have one piece of commercial content, the excellent Storm in a Teacup from Cobra Mobile.
Excuse me.
When you put a project up on the store, you get to choose to make it free or paid, but they also have a tip jar mechanism, so even free apps may get some donations. Then, next up we have F2FS, which is the Flash Friendly Gets In Current Flash-friendly file system gets in 3.8 kernel. Linus has pulled F2FS into the Linux kernel's main development branch. F2FS is a file system that was mainly developed by Samsung employees and is specially tailored for storage media that uses flash memory chips. F2FS is a log structured file system, LFS, like ButterFS. Such file systems use copy-on-write. When a file is overwritten, the file system will store the new data in a different place and delete the reference to the old data. However, unlike ButterFS or ext4, F2FS fills up storage media sequentially, always saving new data behind the most recently written stored data with no regard for fragmentation. Only once it has reached the end of the storage medium will it start again at the beginning and use any newly unreferenced areas for storage. This will ensure that flash chips are evenly used because they only tolerate a limited number of writes. Then next up, we have Red Hat Revenue. Red Hat Revenue up. Red Hat has reported that its third quarter revenue is up 18% year on year at $343.6 million, with subscription income rising 19% to $294.2 million. With estimates placing Red Hat at 29 cents a share. The reported earnings beat those estimates, coming in at 30 cents a share. According to Bloomberg, that was enough to see Red Hat shares rising in late trading. Under the headline figures, Red Hat's recent acquisitions and associated costs took their toll, with the GAAP, which is the Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, operating income down to $49.9 million, which is a drop of 7% year-on-year. So, that's all I have.
Very good.
Sorry, there's something...
Free sound effect after that.
Sorry, there's something in the air that's choking me up.
It happens every time you come here.
I don't know what it is.
I just sneeze, too.
I think it's when you're... Do you have forced air?
Or
do
no, we have radiator.
Then I don't know what it is.
Okay. All right, well, I'll continue on with my news
items. All right.
I've got a few, and I don't write articles. These are just little things that I want to talk about that kind of caught my eye. Now, of course, you know, it's this time of the year where there's kind of a reflection on 2012 and Linux and what you know, what its success. There was an article in Varguy or thevarguy.com that talked about measuring Linux's success in 2012. So they listed a few things. One of which was Linus Torvalds winning of the Millennium, or being awarded the Millennium Technology Prize. The fact that Android, its ascendancy to control more than 50% of the American mobile market, and Microsoft's plummet to toward 20%, as a they thought that was a good measurement of Linux's success. So will 2013 be the year of the Linux desktop? I'm kidding on that part. But anyway, I'm going to have a link in the show notes to it. But there were a number of things. The fact that, you know, Chromebooks, and then Dell Sputnik, Ubuntu-based laptop.
Those Chromebooks are getting real popular. My daughter wants one.
Yeah, I have.
And she's the Macophile. So.
Wow. Now, it runs Chrome OS?
It runs Chrome OS. It's all in the cloud. It boots in 20 seconds.
Ooh,
it has
okay.
A phenomenal battery life.
I have not really done much research on it.
And Asus has one now you can get for $199.
All right, Santa. I'm preparing my list. But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting just to see what you know, what's going on there. There was another one, two top Linux trends for 2012-2013. There will be a link to that in the show notes. The rise of crowdsourcing is mentioned. Diversity on the desktop. And this came from Datamation. So, you know, again, these kinds of things are somewhat interesting. I did not include a link to the most popular Linux distros for 2012, simply because, you know, we talked about that earlier and it wouldn't be appropriate. But Ubuntu Corporation versus Community, just a number of different little stories that they talked about as far as Linux trends. And let's see, what else do I have here? The next one I've got is, now, you're familiar with OwnCloud, right?
Yes.
It's the open source cloud cloud system that I think we were looking at using that at one point.
Yes.
But anyway, there'll be a link in the show notes for synchronizing OwnCloud with how to do it with KDESC, which is, of course, KDE Software Compilation. So that will be that'll be in the show notes. It's a series of steps that will allow you to do that very easily, apparently. Other thing I want to mention is, and you know, this is something that doesn't happen as frequently as it used to. But when I plug in a USB thumb drive, I'd want to maybe transfer files off or put files on it, work from stuff that's on it. And when I was done with it, I'd want to disconnect it. And there were times where it was busy, I couldn't do it, and well, I sometimes would just pull it out anyway, just to, I suppose I wrecked something, but anyway, there's a command that you can use, LSOF, which is basically list open files, and then if you use the option plus D, and you list the directory, which would be /media the particular...
Sure, and then you can pipe it to grep and grep for the term media.
Yeah, and then you can find out what is keeping it open or what is preventing it from being correctly removed. So I wanted to share that. There'll be a link to that article because it's from thegeekstuff.com, but they have got a ton of other options for using that LSOF. And I thought, oh, what a great thing. I wish I had found this a few years ago or had thought about it a few years ago. It just didn't even occur to me. So...
Yeah, and did you see that Dell is getting out of the smartphone business?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they're dropping Android support and getting completely out of the...
Wow.
Out of the...
Wow.
So, thanks, Lord Dragonblue.
Yeah.
And I found a piece of software this week, too, that I really thought was very cool.
Did you?
Yeah, called Hard Info. So you can just do a yum install hard info or apt-get install hard info. And it's a graphical tool, and it creates a report in HTML of everything that's on your system and what it does, all the kernel modules that are loaded. It just provides an incredible amount of information about a system, so it would be a great help to doing some troubleshooting. And the only thing is I installed it, and then I tried to run it as my regular user, and it failed.
Okay.
It created an empty HTML file and just failed. So then when I ran it as root, it worked perfectly. So you just have to be root to run it, at least on my system.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. I'll check that out. Now it's time for KDE Corner, and that's for all you KDE folks out there that... love and enjoy KDE. All the rest of you, please cover your ears for a few minutes. just wanted to share that December 19th, KDE shipped the first release candidate of the Plasma Workspaces Applications and Platform 4.10. So the first beta was out, and actually on this laptop, I run that test environment. I think it's Project Neon, and so their nightly updates come down, so I went in there, checked it out. Looks kind of nice. Didn't do too much with it, but I wanted to mention that. There was also this week, and again, there'll be links to all this stuff in the show notes, a new episode of KDE Tea Time. It's episode 10, and a couple things they covered. Well, you know, Qt 5.0 was released this week, and of course, that's the build framework for KDE and a number of other things. And oh my gosh, those guys were all giddy about it. They were all excited about it. So it was kind of fun to listen to them talk about that. And then another thing they covered too is if you want to be a KDE developer, how you go about doing that. So
first up, learn Qt.
Yeah, that's it. Learn that. So there'll be a link to the most recent KDE Tea Time podcast and the video podcast in the show notes. The other thing I did, too, this week is, looking at some KDE apps, one caught my eye, and it's called Home Run. I don't know if you've heard of it, but Home Run, I was a little nervous when I heard the version number. 0.1.1 was released. Now, Home Run is a KDE full-screen launcher that has some very nice configuration capabilities. So what I did is you have to add the PPA, which I did, and then I installed it. What I didn't realize at first is that it's not going to be something in your menu list that you will launch, and then it will add a launcher to the thing. It's really a widget. So what happens is you end up with Home Run as a widget, and I added it to my panel. And you can, what I ended up doing with it, because there are tabs across the top, and you can select what you want, and everything is displayed before you, so you don't have to go driving through the default KDE launcher. But what I ended up doing up on my desktop upstairs is I selected all installed apps, because when you click the launcher, the whole thing opens up, and your cursor is already in the search bar, so you just type... like Handbrake, because I have a lot of DVDs that I ripped to file. And so you just start typing, and it searches across everything from that installed one. It won't search across tabs yet. I think that's probably coming in another one, another release. But from all installed, I really liked it. So I'm going to play around with it. I've got both my launchers, and I'll see if I switch over to that. So it's called Home Run 0.1.1, and a link to that will be in the show notes. Very easy. Add PPA, apt-get update, there's probably an RPM something or other there for you. Or, just do an alien.
No,
I think it's the same. Apt-get update, apt-get install. I mean, it's not the same. Try it your way, but it's KDE, so there's got to be something available for you if you want to check it out.
Mary?
You don't like screen launchers.
Not interested.
Okay. Well, then good. We'll move on. And then there's a tutorial for it, too. Yeah. I just thought it's something to try.
I don't like running my apps full screen.
Well, no, this is just a launcher.
Okay, don't like running anything full screen.
We should have launcher wars because I bet you.
What do you need for a launcher other than all that too? Nothing.
Oh, yeah, true. That's true. Just a nice little, that little runner thing. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Forget I even talked about it.
All right.
Okay, well, that's my little news items for the week.
All right.
So, I guess it's time for...
Now it's time for Mary's quiz show. Is it alive?
Is it alive? The Christmas edition. During this segment of the show, I normally challenge Matt and Tony to identify whether a Linux distro is alive or dead. Well, I twist the concept for this week's show when I challenge Matt.
Tony is in the channel.
Yeah, so, huh?
Tony is in the channel.
Yeah, well, okay, good for him. to decide if the name entity was a Linux distribution, or whether the name entity is a Linux distribution that originates from a country that celebrates Christmas.
Okay. Yeah.
So, in other words, if I said...
You're going to give me a Linux distribution, and I have to say whether the country of origin celebrates Christmas.
Yes, that's right.
The answer is always going to be yes.
Okay.
Because... Every country in the world has Christians in it, and Christians celebrate Christmas.
Well,
thereby, every country celebrates Christmas.
That is official. Okay, if I were to say... you can't sing your way out of this. No, okay, if I were to say, India?
Yes.
India is a Hindu country, friend.
They have Christians. They celebrate Christmas.
All right, well, I guess we won't be having this. What I'm talking about is the primary religion of a country. And in India, Hindu is the primary religion.
So you want to be exclusive. You want to exclude Christians from your...
No, I'm not...
Because it's because they're the minority religion? You get
country,
to exclude them?
Yeah, but I'm not gonna say it in that way. I'm looking at it in a positive way. And we're not doing it this week. We're not doing it. No, so we actually...
Where Dragon Booth says Abu Dhabi.
There you go. Yep.
There are Christians in Abu Dhabi.
Well, yeah, and there are probably Hindus here. My point is in the country, you would not consider India a Christian country.
No, why not?
Matt, you're just saying that for the sake of giving me a hard time. I know you for years. I know how you are. But no, it would not be. So we're going to go ahead and... So, Matt, you're going to go ahead and... there we go. Yeah. Yule. Ancient Roman. Or Saturnalia.
Saturnalia, yeah.
That's it.
Get up there naked and dance in the woods.
You know when you're doing that, I'll be...
Nobody wants to see that.
The next county. Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and move on with our distros, okay? So now, extra credit is going to be given if you can name the country.
Uh-oh.
All right, and this week I only have four.
So it's okay.
It'll be an abbreviated week for you, Matt. Okay, Matt, here's your first one. I'm putting no answer for Tony because he's not here.
Okay.
Okay, it's Bayanihan Linux.
B-A-Y-A-N-I-H-A-N. I'll say no, and India.
Yes, the Philippines.
They're Muslim. You're wrong.
You look at the primary religion. They're Christian.
Where did you get your information?
In fact, the
World Catholic Book?
No.
Where did you get your information?
I just know.
Let's see what World Book has to say.
Go to Wikipedia.
No, World Book.
All right.
That's the CIA. They know all.
All right, so we'll go on to the next one. Are you ready?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. The next one is Berry Linux. B-E-R-R-Y.
Berry Linux. Mm-hmm. Yes. USA.
No, Japan. Primarily a Buddhist country.
I'll agree there, but I think you're wrong about the Philippines.
Okay. No, I am correct. The predominant religion, I believe, is Catholicism.
It's not World Book. What the... is that?
Wikipedia.
No, what's that CIA website that tells you all about the countries?
I have no idea. I don't go to it. I don't go to the CIA websites. The next one, are you ready for the next one?
Sure.
Okay, Matt. It's...
the CIA World Factbook.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead. Tell us.
I am.
What
I'm
the
right
primary
now
religion of the Philippines is? There used to be a Spanish colony. The Spaniards.
I know.
Okay.
I'm aware.
All right. Great. And
I must have spelled Philippines wrong.
It's I'll spell it for you. It's PHILIPPINES.
ANES?
INES. How is it?
Okay, geography, people and government, economy, energy, communications, transportation, military. Transitional.
You might have to go to Wikipedia.
People in society.
Yeah.
We'll say people in society.
Okay. Well, while you're looking that up, I'm going to go on to the next one.
82% Catholic. You are correct.
And I know that because one of our processing centers is over in Manila. So I mean, I found out. I read up in the country. Manila.
Yeah,
so.
When I was in the Navy.
Philippines,
when I was in the Navy, I ran into a lot of Filipinos.
Okay.
Because all the SPs are Filipinos.
Okay, very good. Okay, well, I was right like I normally am. Just kidding. Okay, Hansana Linux.
Hansana.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and somewhere in Eastern Europe.
No, Sri Lanka. Okay, the next one is
I got to get one right. I can't. It'll be a tie if I don't even get one right.
Tony's not here. He's missing. The next one is Kadamar Linux.
No.
Huh?
No.
Yes, Spain.
Oh, no. I didn't get any right.
I did engineer this.
Wait, Lord Drakenblue says his answers are yes, yes, no, and no.
Okay, yes, yes, no, and no?
Yes.
Okay, yes, yes, no. Okay, he had 2 out of 4. So he beat you.
Oh.
So that's pretty good.
Lord wins.
Yeah, and I already have my next twist for 2 weeks from now. It's a good one.
Okay.
I thought
tell us in advance?
No, I'm not. all right, so there. So join us again for another edition of Is It Alive?
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so now we're moving on to what's next.
It's listener feedback time.
And we have a fair amount of listener feedback this week.
I'll let you handle that, Matt, okay?
First up, we have Ian, who was taking us to task for our podcast quality. We're sorry, but we agree. It was horrible. And we were recording in a restaurant because we're still trying to get a permanent location. And
we basically had one, but he's out of town.
Yeah. We apologize for last week's show.
Yeah.
Very poor audio.
So, but hopefully this week's a little bit better.
Yep.
Okay.
Next up we have...
I think there was... there were comments directly from the show.
Kevin O'Brien says, Crusader is a KDE program that is a damn near a Total Commander clone. So...
Yeah.
We have that, because we mentioned the software Total Commander last week.
Yep.
Then, next up from Julius,
Hodder, who he's the distro maintainer or slash developer of Linux Barbecue.
Yep, Barbecue Linux or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, thanks a lot for the podcast. He enjoyed it. And he wants to thank Mary for her review of Oyster. So
yeah, this is what he says. We're working on a beta, so if you have suggestions or wishes, let us know. For those of you who might not have listened last week, Linux Barbecue Oyster Edition has every window manager and the Debian repository there, so you get to pick and choose and test out all sorts of different window managers. So I liked it, and I thought it was a good way to check out window managers that you might not otherwise test out. So.
And then last but not least, we had a little feedback from Ken Fallon, who was shocked that I'm actually back at work, but my employer was very good, worked with me a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I am back at work.
Yeah.
And I worked a 4-day week this week, 12-hour shift, and it was good. I had only a little neck cramping at the end of the one day, and no, actually, that day I was exhausted, but okay. It was not bad. So thanks, Ken, for your concern, but I'm all right.
All right.
And I think that does it for our listener feedback.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Matt. Maybe that's another listener.
That's an email coming into my phone, but not from that account.
Okay. Oh, all right. All right. So I guess then we come to that point.
What point is that?
Our outro music, right?
I've got no outro music. I don't do outro music.
Well, you know, and I sent some to Tony, but, you know, I didn't think, well, this happened so.
And if I edit the show, there's no outro music in it.
Okay. And by the way, everyone, Matt and I agreed before we started that, hey, there's our outro music. That's my phone, actually. I'm going to put that into voicemail right away. but anyway, we agreed to flip
a coin to see who's
going to edit the show. Should we do it right now?
Oh, sure.
Let's do it right now.
And, all right. Now, does the person who wins the flip edit the show?
They get to choose whether they edit or not.
Okay.
So in a way, it's going to be whoever wins doesn't edit. So what do you
call it in the air?
All right, Terrence.
And I dropped it.
Where is it?
It's no good.
I failed.
It's no good. I gotta catch it. Oh, now it was heads.
Here
you blew it.
All right, we're going to.
Heads.
Tails.
Oh, damn.
All right, everyone, Matt will be editing the show.
So there will be no outro music.
There will be no outro music. Maybe I'll help you with that.
No, I'm not putting it in.
All right, that sounds good. So... okay, well, things are pretty busy. I think my neighbor's calling me. It could be an emergency.
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap our show up.
Yep. This has been episode 63, Sunday Morning Linux Review.
That's right.
Happy Holidays.
Happy Holidays edition. This is Mary Tomich.
And Matt Enders saying have a good week. See you next week.
Thanks, everybody. Bye now.